everyone. I'm Jamie Weiss, and you're listening to my wrestling podcast, Tech in a Set, where I have my friends that know little to nothing about wrestling. We watch a pay-per-view, and then we talk about it. Today, we are going to be talking about my favorite pay-per-view of the year, where if you didn't point to that WrestleMania sign, I was unclear of your intentions. It's Royal Rumble, baby. A fair warning and a fat asterisk for this episode. I am on a very, very potent cocktail of cough and cold medication. I apologize for my nasty, nasty voice, but fortunately, I have a guest co-host for today. It is comedian Joe Galois.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Of course. And then... You hand-selected our guest of honor today.
Yes, I did.
Why don't you do the honors?
All right. Well, the guest I chose was my co-host and buddy at Relapse Theater. We run the Relapse open mic every Thursday night. Is Trey Dunn.
Hello.
Trey
Dunn is here.
Trey.
Glad to know it's hand-picked.
Hand-picked.
That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Ooh. Just with the hand. Okay, so yesterday we watched 4 hours of wrestling. Tell me your history and knowledge of WWE, pro wrestling. Lay it on me.
Okay. I watched like WCW, WWF in my early age, 8 to like 12. Haven't watched a thing since.
Okay.
So 18 years it's been. The Rock, is he still around? Is that Stone Cold? He was still big. Is he still going?
They show face.
Kane was there last night. I remember him.
Yeah?
There were a few that I remembered.
Uh-huh.
But not...
Who was your fave?
My fave last night?
Or in general, back then?
Oh, yeah. Back then, always like Goldberg or Sting.
Yeah, cool.
Were my two
cool big
ones. I had an NWO Wolfpack shirt.
Hell yeah.
I remember just going crazy when Sting joined the Wolfpack.
That explains so much about you.
It probably does.
And Joe, what about you? Tell me.
Oh my goodness, where do I start? I have VHS tapes. We've recorded of Saturday Night's Main Events, the old WWF show that used to be... that were in replace of SNL reruns on NBC during the 80s from 1985. And I was born in 1983. So I've literally been watching it since I was 2 years old.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I've been watching it quite a bit.
So throughout the years, who have your favorites been?
Who have my favorites
How
been?
How has your relationship changed with it at all?
It's weird. Like when I was a kid, it's clearly like Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And like whoever they, like when you're a kid, it's pretty much whoever they told you to like.
Sure.
And then there's always like, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels are big during the 90s. Then there's Austin Rock. But, I mean, I've always been a huge Shawn Michaels fan. That was always, like, the guy for me. Like,
yeah.
It's like, no matter what. Like, if he was on the show, you knew, like, something good. Like, it wouldn't be a horrible show.
Yeah.
Everyone else is sort of like, this could be a stinker, but.
Yeah. So, are we ready to talk about this Royal Rumble?
Absolutely.
I think so.
All right. Okay, Trey. I'm going to give you 30 seconds on the clock, and you're going to give me a recap of our first match of the evening. And it was AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in a handicap match for the WWE Championship. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay, this was probably my favorite match. It was first. I'd never seen a handicap match before. And the two guys that went, I don't remember their names now, I hated both of them. They were labeled best friends. I don't think that's appropriate in wrestling. Friends is fine, but best friends, it seems a little much. They went at it. They had no honor. They tried to cheat. They tried to talk to the ref to distract AJ Styles, who ended up winning.
All right. Kind of acquainted with 30 seconds now, as you said. AJ Styles won after rolling up to Kevin Owens, and what shenanigans took place?
So many shenanigans.
So many shenanigans. I mean, I hated everything about those two.
What did you think at the What did you think at the beginning when they just kept tagging in and out without making contact with AJ?
Oh, that really ticked me off. For show. Like, come on, just
fight
them.
That was the point, though. That was to irritate you.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did. They irritate you. Are they bad guys? That's what I don't understand. Are they heels?
They are heels right now.
Okay. Well, good. They pulled that off very well.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is a super lovable heel. In general, and like what I kind of like, a main difference between Kevin Owens and say like another heel like Elias will like really lean into booze, and if the crowd is cheering him, he's gonna get booze started. But Kevin Owens, like, he he accepts the cheers. Like, when he, like, hopped out of the ring that one time to tag Sami Zayn and, like, went all the way around. Like, he's fine.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing I didn't pick up last night was who was the heel and who was the good guy. I guess they weren't. Which in any matter. The Royal Rumble especially, I had no idea.
Yeah,
but.
And the Zayn Owens, the good thing about them is, like, in terms of the storyline, you probably aren't caught up on, like, the storyline and stuff like right. that. But Zayn Owens, like, they make you that, like, the best villains are always the ones who believe they're right. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're such a hot act right now. Because this whole thing with, like, them versus AJ and Shane, like, they feel like they keep getting screwed over and over again. And you saw that during that match, that when he got rolled up, he wasn't the legal guy to be pinned. And, like, afterwards, they're complaining about it to Shane. And Shane McMahon just says, like, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So like they have motive to be these assholes. Not just the, they don't just come out and say like, this town sucks because it's like we're supposed to get booze. Like they have like proper motive and that's.
Okay. So at first, so they came out together. I thought AJ Styles was gonna be a bad guy. It was like two guys teaming up against one.
Yes, yeah, so it's always good when the good guys outnumber.
Like, right.
Yeah. But yeah, you want the good guys.
To be fair, that's every Avengers and like. Justice League movies, like, yeah, there's nine of you and one bad guy.
Maybe I've been trained by by the movies. I don't know. I also didn't like Kevin Owens' outfit, the cutoff shirt. I think what was it? Fight Anyone, but tagging in and out. He clearly didn't want to fight AJ Styles. I didn't understand that. Like, hypocrite. He also had no honor, and I'm a man of honor, as I talked about multiple times last night.
Yeah,
you don't distract the ref and then go in and get a cheap shot. I don't like that.
Honor is a big deal with you, and you mentioned that multiple times during the 4 hours we watched that. Yeah.
It's true. So, obviously, I assume on Tuesday on SmackDown, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to call unfair, and Daniel Bryan's going to allow a rematch or some shit, and crooked old Shane O'Mac is probably, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That's good because you don't like you have to tune in to find out what's next. If AJ just beat them fair and square, it's like, okay, like there's nothing to reason to come like to right. come watch Tuesday.
I guess my biggest question is why? So they're best friends. I just don't understand that. Oh, let's have a co-title. That's like a super millennial thing to do. Right now, it's just like, we're best friends, we're going to share it. How are they going to share it? They're just going to have handicap matches for the rest of their life? They're going to cheat and do their way
you,
through
some, you get it 4 days this week, and I get it three, and then like next week, I get it 4 days, you get it three.
But what if I want it? What if there's a week where like I'm trying to impress somebody, and it's only me getting it for 3 days?
But if I
want it four.
Then just come talk to me, and I'll, like, well, yeah.
I just feel like eventually they're going to... Hopefully they're going to have it out. Best friends become best enemies.
If high school soccer teams can have, or leagues can have co-champions, why can't...
This is professional baby. I would expect it in the minor leagues.
Why can't professional sports entertainment?
I just feel the term best friends is a little much. Yeah. You can be friends.
Does it make you uneasy that they call themselves
allies? Yeah, I think so.
There's the point. They're bad guys. That's the point.
I didn't think about today that Kevin Owens is a glutton for friendship, and he's a serial like.
Yeah. He just Bud. Wants, yeah, he has, like, he has a history of best friends,
yeah.
he screws him over constantly.
He has more best friends? Okay, yeah.
He screws him over constantly.
Yeah, if I was Chris Jericho, I'd be, like, looking through my Instagram feed, being like, oh, like, look at
or at
Sammy.
Least be
he
texting,
thinks he's, like...
I would be texting Sami Zayn, saying, like, hey, did you not watch last year?
Yeah, right?
So he's like, also untrustworthy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Snake.
I'm gonna tweet him.
He's a big, fat snake.
Seems like he responds to tweets.
I would love... to see your tweet interaction.
I
want to
see how fast you get blocked. Let's see how many...
Yeah. I'll tweet him right now.
All right, put Trey on the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if you can get blocked by Kevin Owens as soon as...
You want to go ahead
by the end
plug
of this podcast.
Your Twitter?
I'm going to tweet him and just say, I think you stink.
Oh.
I think that would be like... I feel like it's something
he explain
would
what you did.
To.
Explain. You said, this is the first time I've watched you perform.
What's his
think.
Twitter?
Yeah. I think it's Fight Owens Fight or something. Or like, I'll pull it up.
Last night.
Hold on.
We can keep talking while I tweet. I'm just going to say you're a coward.
Oh, it's Fight Owens Fight. Oh, you're a coward. No honor.
No honor.
Sad. Kevin Owens.
Hashtag sad.
Fake news on fake sports.
Yeah. All right. What's your handle? Go ahead, plug that. We'll say it again at the end.
Mom, don't call me right now. My mom's trying to call me. She knows. She's about, like, you
she's
don't left. Pick fights with people on
she's
Twitter.
Listening.
She knows.
She's listening in. Is this live?
It's at Simply Trey Dunn.
At Simply Trey Dunn. Cool. All right, so...
You're a coward.
Overall,
it's going to be sent.
It was a weird pace match. I feel like handicap matches always start out kind of, like, clunky and slow, but then they pick up and, you know.
I think
for, I don't like stips.
Right, but in terms of like handicap matches, it was pretty well laid out.
Set.
So, all right.
Ooh.
It was pretty well laid out and like.
Maybe we'll be best friends if we.
And
now I'll follow him. I don't know if that's...
It was smart having Zayn do most of the heavy lifting based on Kevin Owens' injuries from what I've read.
Oh, I did like the match, though.
I did think it was a good way to start.
Yeah, it was a good way
to get back into wrestling.
Yeah, and it's always a given if AJ Styles is in a match, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of AJ?
I liked him a lot. Well, I know the name vaguely. That name sounded familiar. Yeah. I kind of thought he was a bad guy.
Everyone's always Joe.
You explained to me last night that he's just like a well-rounded.
Yeah, he's probably the best. He's the best performer like in the company, if not like.
I thought he was really good. I like the long, just straightened hair. It looked like it was done perfectly for Royal Rumble. I don't know if he looks like that on whatever SmackDown.
Oh, they take care of him. Yeah, they have a whole hair crew.
So okay. Yeah, I like the way he fought. He had some acrobatic stuff off the ropes that I'm impressed with.
So talented.
Yeah, very talented. Very athletic.
And I'm pretty sure he's a UGA fan.
Never mind. All right. Well.
All right. So next match on the card were the Usos versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin in a 2-of-3-falls match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. 30 seconds on that clock. Are you ready?
Ready. Okay, this one I thought was rather boring. It was the two guys in the white jumpsuit versus the two guys in the wrestling attire. I remember one of them being very small, and I didn't understand the point of the mat, like the two falls I'd never seen before. But somehow the Usos brothers won, even though the one guy's knee got taken out a lot. This was a lot with the legal, who's the legal man, wasn't this fight? But they ended up winning the white jumpsuit, white shoes. They had the Hawaiian...
The Hawaiian tattoos. Brothers Uso.
Brothers Uso. This is the one I don't quite remember.
Yeah, I mean...
I thought it was boring.
I wasn't super stoked on it. There were cool spots here and there. The Usos won. Two straight falls. What do you think, Joe?
I mean, there was nothing actively wrong with it, but it was... A, because it was two straight falls, and it was just more of the same. Like, it's pretty forgettable. Like... I don't know who the Usos have left to face at this point. Like, there's Rusev Day, but I don't think anyone's going to get actively behind them in terms of, like, besides the fans.
Right. I mean, like, that's the thing.
So it just seemed very... If they weren't going to change the titles, it just seemed very placeholder.
Yeah, no, like, definitely. Just for something to do. I wish, again, there was no stips here. I'm not a fan of stipulations tonight, I guess. But it just seemed like a regular old match. Like, it didn't seem pay-per-view.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I thought, so when I used to watch wrestling, they were like tag team duos. It felt like the two that fought him, I don't remember their name, were just kind of put together.
Oh, for Shelton and Ben.
Yeah, I don't know who they were. They had no name.
Chad Gable.
Like, no, like, team name.
They matched, at least.
They did match. They did match, yeah. They had nice wrestling leotards.
Yeah.
Or one of them did.
It's just kind of weird to me that, like, they looked so weak, ultimately. Like, why are they doing that? Are they going to split them up, or what?
Well, the good thing is, like, it does, like, when they do 2-of-3-falls matches, you always assume, like, it's going to go to the third fall just for level of excitement to do that every now and then. Mm-hmm. But I would save that stuff for, like, SmackDown.
Right.
Like, you can do two falls on TV, and it's like, okay. But when it's on a pay-per-view, like, you kind of, like, it was, the match was itself is fine, but you kind of feel like, you're not getting your money's worth if it's not going the full.
Well, what happened with the? You can jog my memory if y'all remember the one of them. You know, they worked that guy's knee or leg for so long, and then he finally tagged out, and then there was like an illegal pin or something. They didn't know who the man was. That was
well, they're twins,
illegal.
So that's always the case. But.
So, all right.
Yeah, which I love those brothers Use. I can't tell them apart, like, which one's Jimmy or Jay, but I know, like, there's, like, Joshua, who is, like, had the DUI recently. And then there's John, who's married to Naomi in real life.
Well, now you're using their Total Diva names.
Yes, so but I could not tell you their in-ring names, because to me they're just one ooze. Yeah.
Well, for a while, one would wear a shirt and the other one wouldn't, so like you could.
Yeah,
but you don't know which one. Like, I don't know which one wore.
And
a
when
shirt.
They like painted their faces, like one would do the left side and one would do the right.
So when they said like this one is Jimmy, you'd be like, okay, I can keep my eye and make sure.
Right.
Well, now I kind of like it because the other two clearly had their differences in the way they look, and you definitely knew who the legal man was. So maybe that's an advantage, them being
looking alike
and
they've done that before. Any
doing
sort of
whatever.
Any twin tag team, that's their... That's
you dress alike, you look alike, you win.
Now, they have a very, in terms of pro wrestling fame, like a father. Do you know who their father is? So they're Samoan, so it would help. Like
Roman Reigns.
Yes, their father is...
They're the same.
Do you remember? Do you remember Rikishi?
Yeah, I
think
so.
That's their dad.
Oh, okay. Their real dad, or is it a wrestling?
No, their real dad, not like a Kurt Angle.
Not the Kurt Angle. Right. We'll get to that later.
I guess. We'll explain. Yeah.
It would have made so much more sense to have Chad as the son, because like they're both like, oh, we were both in
the
Olympics.
They're both short men.
Speaking of fathers,
no,
I got my dad calling me.
Yeah, my mom calls your dad. Kevin Owens hasn't tweeted yet.
I have no missed calls from my
It'll happen the next match.
But also, talking about Chad, he did do a super, like, he did an immaculate moonsault onto the Usos at one point. That was pretty, it was pretty
Chad, the short, tiny guy.
The little one.
With the headband. He looks like he should be teaching aerobics.
The other tag team.
Yeah, the other tag, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What was his? He was so small.
So small.
He was an Olympic wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did they get
Kurt
partnered up? What is their backstory? Is this just a
giant black
dude? I think they
just like,
were like,
you need a new
black
dude.
Yeah. Well, he was in a previous tag team with
Jason Jordan.
Jason Jordan, the guy from the other. It's a whole thing.
Oh, that guy.
And then, but when they revealed Kurt Angle's son, Jason Jordan went over to the other show, and Chad Gable named another tag team partner, so they stuck
They brought back
Shelton Benjamin, who wrestled for them years ago.
Gotcha.
Sort of be like his mentor.
I keep forgetting there are two, like, shows that...
Yeah, there's Raw. Yeah, Raw and SmackDown are two different... Gotcha. Yeah, you're on one, you're not on the other. Unless you're John Cena.
The only free agent. Yeah. All right, so that was that match.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I wasn't
could've
stoked.
Could have done without.
It was a TV match.
This thing could have been 3 hours and 30 minutes.
If only, huh? So, next one, they just threw that men's Royal Rumble match in there.
Yeah.
I guess you get a second for each entrant. Are you ready?
Oh, boy. I'll see if I can name them all. All right, this one was just pure chaos. I didn't know any of the wrestlers outside of Goldust, Roman Reigns, and John Cena. And they all came later. Rusev Day, I like that. But just pure kid. My favorite part was, what's his name? Heath something.
Mm-hmm.
He just kept getting the shit beat out of him before he ever made the stage, and I thought that was great. And then he finally got in, knocked out Sheamus, and then himself got knocked out. And to me, that was the highlight of the match. But other than that, it was chaos.
You succeeded. Second per dude. All right. Our big winner, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
You met him tonight, so that was cool, and he picked our boy AJ Styles, we talked about earlier, to fight at Points at Sign, WrestleMania 34. Super cool. NOLA boys are...
He had red teeth, which I thought was interesting.
Tight, yeah.
At first I thought he was bleeding, but I guess that's why he does that.
A lot of mouthpieces there in the
lots
show.
Lots of mouthpieces.
So this was a weird one for me, because you don't, outside of the people I knew, I don't know these people, and you don't really get to know them, outside of the guitar guy, who I thought was rather lame, and he stayed in
you
far too
like
long.
You didn't like him?
I did not like him
Ooh,
at all.
Ooh, I love him.
He stayed in far too long. I was hoping he would be the one that maybe had the 1 second.
Just in and out?
Just in and
Elias.
Out, yeah. Because he was the only one that had a pre-show.
Where he's like, time's an illusion.
Yeah, and then he went out and, yeah, we know time's an illusion, buddy, but you're here to wrestle. I don't care about your stupid song you made up. Who wrote that? I mean, that was so lame.
It was kind of funny. He did say at one point that he spit in the face of the Rocky statue, which is so angsty.
Yeah, everyone loves to shit on Philadelphia. It sounded like someone like an open micer trying to do improv for the first time. Like, I'm on a spit on the fit, and then everyone's like, we don't like you.
Joe, what do you think?
The Royal Rumble match. I think it's the best one they've had in a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a while since they've had a winner that like the crowd actually wanted to see. Like it's been like several
at least
years.
8 years.
Yeah, and the only reason why it would have been 8 years was because no one knew Edge was coming back that
right.
year and surprised everybody in 2010. Ever since then, it's sort of been like the WWE presents like here's our guy, and then the crowd's like we don't this is not who we wanted.
Yeah, but Alberto Del Rio, yeah. Everyone.
Del Rio, Sheamus, and Cena again, and yeah,
Orton.
Sheamus won one.
Yeah, Sheamus won one, and
wow.
He went from winning one to being knocked out by Heath Slater in
1 second.
The Heath Slater, his birthday.
The Heath Slater thing was great.
Funny.
The Elias thing is kind of like what we said earlier about like Kevin Owens getting like real, like any sort of real heat. Like Elias just sort of does the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
Get booed, like, ah, the city sucks.
I'll
sing a song about it. And then, which is great, but he can command, he's very good at commanding the audience. Like when, like tonight wasn't a good time because like they're pressed for time. Like when he's doing it on Raw and he gets time, like several minutes to do it, it makes more sense. But
yeah.
But the thing with him I've noticed is like once the bell rings, it's sort of there's not too much behind it beyond the character you saw pre-match. Like it's just like he's a fairly average wrestler, like nothing special. Like that means he can't have competent matches, but.
Right, for me, I guess I just didn't get to know the backstory of these people because it was just...
I mean, it's quick.
90 seconds of, and they come out, and then the crowd either loves them or hates them,
and
I don't know why.
I think the surprises this year, like, the surprise engines this year were, like, good. Like, it wasn't anyone, like... there was Rey Mysterio. That was jaw-dropping.
Oh, yeah, Rey Mysterio.
Cool.
I liked
that,
yeah.
And he looked...
He did a lot of the 619.
Yeah, he looked as good as I've seen him in a long time.
Kicks.
And the Hurricane thing was kind of funny, if people remember the Hurricane.
Great.
And, like... That stuff's fine, but the thing is, like, when that stuff happens, then people who aren't in the Rumble, it seems like it's to protect them, as opposed to, like, yeah, Hurricane could have done that, as opposed to, like, Bobby Roode going in there and being eliminated in 5 minutes. If you're trying to protect
right
some of the guys,
people's reputation. What do you guys think? So we had Dolph Ziggler come out at number 30, which was to me like the most Ziggler thing that could happen. Like he relinquished the title or the U.S. title to like make a statement. Okay, cool. Then he like returned to Royal Rumble, entered 30, should be a big deal. That happened, and then just like got eliminated in the most like anticlimactic way possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't seem to make much of it. If he came in at 30, it could have been like a... You would think he would come in to, like, win it. Just based on, like, how that storyline was left. Like, how he quit the company and came back. But to have him, like, come in, get eliminated, like, the way he did, and then come on TV on Tuesday and probably pick up where he left off with Bobby Roode, it's sort of like,
right.
Well, I won my match, and you just got dumped in, like, 3 minutes.
At one point, Michael Cole even, like, said, I thought he was retired, so, like, what is this long-term plan they have for him?
Yeah.
And it's nothing. So, there was that, but then...
I would have at least had him in, like, the final four.
Yeah. But who would your number 30 be?
The Undertaker.
Cold. No, I mean, number 30 doesn't have to be a surprise. Everyone thinks it is at this point, like... Number 30 back in the day used to be like one of the Nasty Boys or something. It just doesn't really matter if everyone else that's in there you want to see win is still in there. Number 30 doesn't matter because number 30 doesn't have to be in the final four. Number 30 can be. But if it's a returning wrestler where the storyline was that he quit, like imagine if they did this during like when CM Punk quit the company and he debuts and gets eliminated like in a battle royal like at the end of Raw.
Sure.
Like that wouldn't. There's nothing to build off of that.
You're right. Yeah.
Like, it deflates him before there's any chance to, like, make his whatever program you want to put him in work.
Yeah. Overall, so, talking about, like, you know, the final, I know you said final four, like, coming out, but final four left, so it was Roman Reigns, John Cena, Nakamura, and Finn.
Yeah.
Which, I'm hoping out of this, we have maybe a Finn and John Cena feud? Because I hated that.
I liked Finn just because he stuck around. He was the second person to come out.
Yeah,
he was
Iron
part
Man.
Of the first group.
Yeah, he was the Iron Man of the match.
Yeah, he just kind of, he played it right.
Yeah.
I think he's due for a...
But I didn't realize he was a big deal.
I think he's going to be, if I was writing stuff, I would put him up against The Miz at Mania for the Intercontinental title. Because a program of John Cena's not going to do anything for him.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, man, and I love The Miz.
Yeah.
He's, like, future Hall of Famer.
Because then you can have Miz Taraz, like, that group versus the Balor Club. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, you can have all combination matches leading up to Mania.
Yo, WWE, hire him. There we go.
I can move back to Connecticut.
No comment. No. I didn't know any of this.
But no, that would just make the most sense. Because I've heard, like, there's all these rumors about who is going to face who. But and he, if he's not in the Universal title picture since he came back from injury.
Right.
He would help the Intercontinental title picture. Because they're trying to keep that elevated.
Right.
Build off the momentum of, like, Miz and Roman Reigns' title reigns. Like, Balor would be another guy that could...
Yeah.
Keep that belt relevant that they've struggled to keep relevant for like the past decade and a half.
So dope. Cool. Yeah, other than that, we had Jerry Lawler as guest commentary. Hate him, Memphis's favorite wife beater, but it was like just having a Jerry Lawler soundboard.
He's on one commentary. Of the few people I knew last night.
He looks like he is just perpetually 12. Like, he's a child.
He was great on the Man on the Moon documentary.
Oh yeah,
that's all.
And
really...
the gym documentary.
I enjoyed that, but not just because I'm a woman, but I did enjoy the Women's Royal Rumble better.
So the guy that won, Nakamura,
yes,
he's a big up and comer. I didn't quite understand.
He was a huge deal. He was a huge deal in Japan, like for like the New Japan, like over there.
Yeah,
and he signed with WWE like in 2015. And, like, he's been there ever... He's been, like, NXT. Like, they built... Like, they brought him to NXT, that developmental company I told you about.
Yeah.
They brought him in, like, this past year. He's done some stuff, but nothing, like, a note. There's, like, the first, like, big, big win he's had.
Okay.
And I think they have big things with him. Like, because they can... If they make him champion, they can have him come... Like, when they tour Japan, have
right,
him be their champion.
Right, different market. Yeah.
So, but and him and AJ had matches in Japan that were just off the charts, and they're trying to hopefully recreate that.
Okay.
A couple years later.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
One thing I can, like, definitely, like, pat WWE on the back for is how they've done a really good job planting the seeds for that with, like, you know, in multi-man matches, having them, like, AJ Styles and Nakamura stare down each other. But they've also been doing that with, like, the Universal title as well, having Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar's advocate, like, check in on Roman Reigns' matches and just kind of... Because that's what this is all for. They're making, you know...
So would y'all have had a problem with Cena or Roman Reigns winning?
Yes.
Cena, I feel like, would have been... For me, because he's already made it. He's already the pinnacle.
Well, I don't...
If he would have won to get a chance to headliner, he's already done that.
The crowd probably would have been more mad at Reigns winning, because if Cena won... They could have had Cena versus AJ again, which they...
Has Cena been gone for a while?
What?
Has he been...
Cena?
Is he just popping in and out?
He's been popping in and out a lot. Okay. He's been popping out a lot more because he's doing the movies and stuff now.
Yeah, it would make this shirt that I had made for last year's Royal Rumble relevant again that says, I'm getting worked so hard by AJ versus Cena that now means nothing to everyone.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool to have that. But I wouldn't mind John Cena because I do think he does a really good job of putting people over. I think he's really good at what he does. But I would have been, upset
with Roman. He probably will get that 17th title reign because he's going to break Flair's record.
Yeah.
Like 16 world championship reigns. They're, at some point, they'll have to do it. But
gotcha.
Probably not now.
Right.
They can say they have that in their back pocket. For later, now they have Rousey on the roster and Brock still on the roster. You don't have to, the focal point doesn't have to be Cena's.
John Cena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
Still put him in a big match, but don't, like last year they had him just in a tag team match where he proposed to his girlfriend.
Smart.
I did like that, though.
But that got a lot of press because of the Today Show. So, they know where to use him, and it's not necessarily in the, like, main event, like the top match.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
All right. So, next match. Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan versus Sheamus and Cesaro for the Raw Tag Team Championship. Trey, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cool.
Okay, this one, I like Sheamus and Cesaro. They have matching outfits. That was nice. They're a tag team, you know, duo. I like that. The one dude, it was, what was his name? Seth Rollins. I loved that he put up a fight because the other dude went out so early and never got off the mat. I did not understand that. He got thrown face first into the pole and then he was holding the back of his head for the rest of the match. And then, you know, of course, that's all I remember about that one.
Yeah.
It was like another handicap match.
Pretty much, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did they plan on having two of them, or was he really concussed? It's Kurt Angle's son.
That
should have a harder head than that.
They've been building this angle for, like, Jason Jordan's, like, Kurt Angle's son is, like, trying
he's
to get
not his, worthy.
Yeah, he's just, like, this little...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the best way to put it. Like, he's just, like, this little shithead that's ruining things for Seth Rollins right now.
Right. He's so good at getting under people's skin.
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins went... For a long time in the Royal Rumble, and then he had to come out and spend a lot of time
and Cesaro
just getting beat up.
I love how Cesaro just tonight just came out to sirens for the way they've been playing his music.
Yeah. Maybe he's due for new theme music then.
Oh man, I love it though.
But that match, like the crowd was so dead for it due to the Rumble just ending. I was like, all right,
yeah, I felt that too.
It was like the crowd was so spent; they probably just no one probably wanted to leave their seat during the Rumble, so that was. Probably the bathroom break of all bathroom breaks.
Right, yeah, no.
And that's true. Well, I felt both tag team matches were like that. There was just not a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Seth definitely busted his ass in those Guy Fieri-inspired pants, which I don't... Do you think Seth Rollins, like, he always has questionable clothes? Like, do you remember when he had, like, the white Power Rangers legs?
All white, yeah.
Like, do you think, like, he, like, he's like... This is my idea for what I'm going to wear. Sick. Make it, baby. Like,
well, most wrestling attire has always been questionable.
Yeah, I just feel like flames is a big part of wrestling. You got to have some sort of flame.
There's always been guys wearing flames. Bam, bam, big
flames
old cane.
Like tiger stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always
just goes into it.
Yeah. But wrestling attire has always been questionable. I mean, look at Doink.
But I'll tell you what, he earned those flames last night because he had to fight a tag team match by himself.
He did, he did. At one point, Corey Graves, who's one of my favorite commentators, is like, it's Seth versus the world, and it's a little overdramatic, but, I mean, at the end, it was Jason Jordan clutching his head as if he was in, like, an existential crisis.
Well, let me tell you, he won over the world. I'm the world. I got mad respect. Hashtag Seth Rollins.
Man of honor.
Honorable.
I'll tweet him later. Yeah, definitely a man
right
of honor.
Right now, saying you're a man of honor.
You're a man of honor. I'll do it. We'll see if anyone retweets me.
Fucking do it.
Back. What's his handle?
I don't know. Let's find out. Fight Rollins.
We'll be back
Rollins.
Right after these messages. Right after these tweets.
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.net. Seth Rollins site.
I don't know if he has one. I don't think he does.
He might have gotten
even
taken
better.
He might have taken it down after the
even
photos
better.
Though, yeah. Aw, poor guy.
I liked the way he fought. I didn't like his partner.
You're not supposed to like his partner. His partner's a good guy, but he's
that's what I missed coming in unknown. Like, who am I supposed to like? Who
am
I not?
I'm sure this match will set up
animosity. But it sounds like I figured it out.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
who the people I didn't like, they did their job.
Well, that's what, and also that's what commentary is for. Like, everyone can get on commentary for, like, beating people. Like, it's like, you say the same stuff every week. Like, these catchphrases, these buzzwords, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, because they're not commenting to the people who are watching, like, repeatedly.
They're kind of saying the newer.
Yeah, like, if you tune in, like, a Monday night, and you're like, what the hell is this? You'll be caught up within 2 or 3 minutes based on what they're doing.
Right.
So I always hear people bitch about the commentary. Like, it can be corny at times. It could be written a little bit better, like, what they're saying, but
I think
get beaten over the head with it makes sense because you're trying to attract new viewers. They know the hardcore fans are going to watch no matter what, even if they fucking hate it.
Yeah, if you have to watch it on, like, silent, you know, like, who cares?
Right.
But I love the, like, rapport, I talk about this all the time, between Brian Saxton and Corey Graves. I think it's so funny.
Was this the match that Booker T was in?
Like,
he was just so disappointed. Was it this one?
Probably.
He was only in one of them.
I can't
remember. Like, him and another announcer
were
gonna fight,
I think,
and that was the best part
of
the
match. I think he was in that one and the Universal title match, the triple threat match.
Yeah,
Raw.
You're right. Cause I saw him grab his stuff.
Because
he slammed him through.
Yeah,
he
called every, like, Raw match.
Oh, okay. They even
have
different announcers.
Although they just announced that he's no longer the Raw commentator.
Oh no!
Coach got hired back.
Oh yeah, I did
really?
Read that.
Yeah. Jonathan Coach
from ESPN News.
Yeah,
he never quite made it to the real ESPN.
WWE. Yes, no, he was in SportsCenter.
Was he doing SportsCenter? Ah.
But
whatever.
Yeah, that was a match. It happened. Oh, but new tag team. Champs.
Yeah, the bar has the
Yeah, what's their backstory? How did they...
The bar?
They started at SummerSlam, not this past one, but the one before, leading up to it. They were doing a best of seven thing between those two, and then Mick Foley was like, you know what? You
Mick
guys
Foley's
are a tag
around.
Team. He was. He was GM of Raw?
Yeah, Raw.
Yeah, he was GM of Raw. and just made that decision, and those two make wrestling look like wrestling. They're incredible together.
Yeah, they were good. Sheamus is so pale.
And they're like best
friends.
Still
kind of blinded by watching him fight.
Cesaro's one of those guys, if like you show a non-wrestling fan like one of his like bigger matches, like you'll fall in love with the guy.
Okay.
Like the stuff that guy can do.
He's
like,
crazy.
It's him and AJ, I feel like, are the two best in the company in terms of...
Really?
Like, and it just sucks because,
like... Like, your jaw... Like, someone who's not used to it will just be like, how the hell did he do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I would love to see one day Cesaro, like, have, like, a solo championship title, but yeah. I don't think it's ever going to happen. You know?
There's time. I mean, there's no rush.
Yeah.
I'd rather him do this tag team for as long as they have to instead of just him being, like, sixth on the totem pole of, like, the title. Like,
right. Yeah, and I mean, they're, like, one of the only... They're pretty much the only good tag team on Raw.
That's the thing. It's like, there's not, like... There's them, the Revival, and the Club, mm-hmm. or Good Brother, whatever they're called now.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, what's next for them? Like,
right.
They need something to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, someone to come back or be worth a damn or bring someone from the NXT up.
I wonder if... Nah. Yeah, I don't know. Who would they even bring up now? Like, I feel like nobody
Authors
is ready.
Authors of Pain aren't doing much after this past Saturday.
Yeah. And now they have War Machine to replace them, so that's kind of cool.
But Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about the event you didn't watch.
Yeah.
Boy, let me tell you, there's a lot of high flyers. a lot of turnbuckle use. A lot into the ropes. A couple of suplexes.
Some Donnybrooks, but not all
Donnybrooks. Some DDTs. I was impressed.
All right. Next match on the card was Brock Lesnar versus Kane versus Braun Strowman in a triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship. 30 seconds.
Okay. This one, I didn't quite understand why there were three people. It seemed like it could have just been Lesnar and Strowman. But... There was a lot of destruction, a lot of table setup, a lot of through the tables. I like that. A lot of destruction. Lesnar won. He pinned Kane, I guess. And that was about it. A lot of tables.
25 seconds.
Yeah,
good enough.
Under.
Big sports, baby. It was a showcase of destruction. I agree with you there. This one was the most interesting one to me to rewatch because that's what I did this morning. And I enjoyed it a lot more the second time. There was one thing I didn't notice where at one point, Brock Lesnar, or part-timer at this point, super washed up. I don't think he has the muscle memory to wrestle anymore. And when Braun put a knee to his head, he didn't know to turn. And so I think there was a 10-second shoot where he just like,
punched him in the face.
Right
yeah.
in the temple.
I saw that. Yeah. I was like, boy, wrestling's gotten harder.
Well, but it's one of those things where it's like, was that, like, did they really fight? And I was like, if they really did do that, the WWE wouldn't have shown it like five times during the rest of the match.
I don't know.
They did a lot of replays
though. Shoot.
I kind of agree that watching him wrestle, see, he seemed a little off.
Yeah.
Just kind of old, I guess. I mean, how old is he? Oh, boy, then there's Kane, who's damn 50.
Kane was there.
I didn't understand why he was there. Because this clearly was a feud between Lesnar and Strowman.
He was there to eat the pin.
Yeah, so he wouldn't...
Yeah, I understand that. But it was just like, he provided nothing but 7 choke slams. He was there only... He had no other moves. He would... You know, he'd kind of get off his ass, and then someone would turn into a choke slam every time. There was no, like, he didn't have to work for anything. They just turned into him. He'd grab him, throw him down. He tried to pin someone. The other person would slam him in the back. Get to politics, Kane. We don't want you here anymore.
Yeah.
The table setup was too long.
You're the only person to ever say stick to politics.
Try your hand in politics, I mean. Not stick to politics.
Mayor Kane.
You celebrities, stick to politics.
Well, and then he's the one who got pinned, and then the other guy got mad, like, oh, you didn't beat me, Lesnar. But he had every opportunity to pin Lesnar.
But he beat him back in October.
But he got, well, how the hell was I supposed to
know? I'm just saying in terms of, like, this, not you. The story, like storytelling. Like,
I'm just saying, he had every opportunity to beat him. He body slammed or power bombed him like 2 times and was like, "Get back up! I'm gonna do it again." And then Kane came in and hit him with something, like the chair, I think. And then he lost. That's on you, brother.
I
could have pinned him when he had the chance. One thing I learned last night is if you're too greedy, you lose. Don't taunt people. Just go about your business.
Don't taunt and don't be greedy.
Have some honor.
Have some honor and some moxie, right?
Some moxie, a little honor.
But that's the thing with like the whole Braun thing is like they want to push him, but they won't go all the way. So they're running. Right. They're getting real close to there just being the audience knowing it's not going to happen, and then he'll loot like they're not going to give a shit. It happens so many times, like throughout like the past years, like. It happened.
Since Great Balls of Fire.
You know, even like I'm just talking about in general, not just him. Oh, yeah, in general. Like, it happened with Shelton Benjamin in 04. Like, it happens with, like, right. we're behind these guys, and, like, they don't pull the, like, the fans are behind them, and they don't pull the trigger, and it's like, it happened with Dolph Ziggler. Like, that's the biggest case. It might be Strowman next. Like,
I think Braun Strowman, though, is good. He's so just fucking good. Like, he's interesting. He's super talented. He's gotten so much better since, like, they started with his squash matches to me. But I just think that him and The Miz are my favorite people on Raw right now. And that's, like, I can't choose between my children kind of thing. But I think he's constantly giving us something new to where I'm not gonna, like, lose faith in Braun. Because even if it's just a line, like, get these hands, which now is a shirt, or just taking these bumps and having commentary also want him there and, you know, like Corey Graves, like, being excited about it. I don't think that all hope is lost for Braun because he's good.
If he's not the guy who unseats whoever unseats Brock, because it's not going to be him at this point. He's fought him too many times.
Right. I mean, they have to make...
But he'll still be popular, but they know... What, like, his wins won't matter.
It'll be like Rusev.
His feuds won't matter. Yeah, it's like Rusev's now, Dolph for like the longest time.
Right.
Or now the crowd just does not care. It's like you're one of our favorites, but we know this is as far as you go.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like they have a chance for him to be like not like Stone Cold level in terms of like merch and like popularity, but like to be that guy. Where it's like when he's on TV, some crazy shit's going to happen, so we need to watch.
Right. Yeah.
Like, doing all this stuff with like there's not a week goes by where he's not in some vehicle getting hit or hitting some vehicle or turning over vehicles.
He was the only one who went under the ring. He went under the ring to find the tables.
Yeah, he got tables. Yeah.
And then he got thrown into one.
Oh, yeah, he did.
But that was very bizarre, though. He just dove in there. Yeah, that was a huge...
They did make a comment about that.
Well, that's what's always so great when there's a match where, like, something's clearly screwed up and, like, it's clearly, like, exposes something. Like, the... Well, they got to, some guy falls off the ropes, like, oh, there's perspiration on the ropes, and that's why he slipped. And when that, it was just sort of like, he just sort of braced himself and went in there. It's like, yeah, he thought Kane
that
pushed him.
Happen,
he thought Kane pushed him, and Kane didn't push him yet, and that.
It was fun.
Well, yeah, Kane wasn't going to push anybody. He was going to choke slam him.
Yeah, that's it.
For sure.
Yeah, so it's just.
Wasn't he the machine, Kane?
It was the beast versus the monster.
I'll tell you what, he is a machine because he knows one move, choke slam. The machine does what he wants.
Push the
who were the other ones? What were the other? There was the monster that was.
That was Braun Strowman. Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
What would your wrestling nickname be if those three of those guys? If it was Brock versus Braun versus Kane versus Trey Dunn.
Ooh, a foursome.
Yeah, so it would be the monster versus the beast versus the machine versus...
The honorable. I think we know.
The honorable Trey Dunn presiding.
Yeah.
This is the judge gimmick.
I'd come out as a judge, yeah. I'd have a gavel that I would hit people in the head with.
That's not very honorable.
If they come at me, it is.
You are sentencing them.
Yeah, I'm sentencing. I'm not going to go behind them. I'm going to look them right in the face. You'll never see me turn around into a choke slam. I will be right in his face.
The key is to never turn around and do it.
Yeah, apparently. But it didn't work last night, so.
No. My favorite thing is when Braun punched the chair out of Brock Lesnar's hand. I don't know if you caught that, but it was dope.
I don't remember that.
No.
Sorry.
Worth rewatching.
My favorite thing was all the tables got, the announcer's tables got destroyed.
Yeah.
And then the only one they put back up was the American announcers. The Germans are like, fuck them.
They need that for Stephanie to be there.
The Spanish one, they're like, you just gotta stand. We're gonna set this back up. And then Booker had to grab his phone off of one when he realized that it was gonna be used. He was like, let me grab my phone here real quick.
At one point, I think it was Corey mentioned that he wanted to grab a German commentator to protect himself from Braun.
Yeah, I think I do remember. Yeah.
When in doubt, grab a German commentator.
Yeah.
They'll protect you.
But it was fun. I
did like that match. It was a good get it back hyped up.
After yeah.
The tag team match before was good, but this got the crowd back into it, I feel like.
Yeah, all right.
And then ready into the last.
The last one. Which was the first ever women's Royal Rumble match made history. They didn't tell you once. They told you
30 times.
30 times. One per woman. And that is how many seconds you have. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay, the women's Royal Rumble. I didn't know a single person in it. I didn't know there were that many women wrestlers. I thought it was good. It was there to showcase every... See, this is what I liked about this one more than men's. They showcased their finishing moves and all this stuff. I feel like that happened a lot. It seemed like they brought back some older people. My one gripe was that I had no idea who was eliminated or not, because most of them went out of the ring for minutes at a time and then came back in. And Asuka won. Was that her name? Asuka?
Asuka.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Asuka. I'll get it right next time.
Tweet at her.
Apologies. See if she'll respond.
Yes. As we stated, Asuka won. She was one of my two picks, so that was great. And I don't know, I felt
like... Who was your other pick?
I actually thought it would be Nikki before the match even started. Because in Tote Steve's, which is... I'm a fiend for reality TV now, all thanks to Total Divas. All, like, Nikki and Brie were talking about the last, like, two episodes were how, like, they want to make a comeback. And they're like, Royal Rumble's perfect for it. So, like, kind of saw it coming from a mile away. And I'm like, they're not going to make Nikki look weak. And I feel like they're obviously not going to have her win either. So I figured it would be a good tool to make, you know... It would have made more sense, looking back as I watched, to have someone like Sasha Banks and Asuka be the last two, to where I'd really be like, oh my god, who is it going to be? But I don't even know where to start. I felt excited and empowered as a woman to like be watching this, and I don't know. Why don't you chime in a little bit?
I mean, I thought it was a good match. I thought I think the match itself was laid out pretty well. I assume Sasha Banks is now a heel or is about to turn heel.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I gather.
I mean,
especially the way the commentators just hated on her.
Yeah,
just kind of shit on her throughout the match.
She eliminated Bayley, her best friend.
Yeah.
And she also eliminated Trish Stratus, who was perfect for number 30 in terms of, like, the crowd can get, like, because if they were expecting Rousey and they weren't going to get Rousey, if that was Dana Brooke or someone on the, like, current roster, they would have...
Right.
The crowd could have rejected everything again, but...
Right.
They picked the right woman, the right woman to win. I bet it was laid out pretty well.
Yeah, it was nice seeing all of these vets return, especially because back when a lot of them were wrestling, they didn't get the respect they deserved. I mean, these women are...
They all looked on point. No one...
Lita looked
kind of off, but other than that...
Yeah, I think like...
Molly Holly looked great, and then... Trish was doing, like, looked like she's still been wrestling this entire time.
Oh my god, her outfit, though. Wow, I loved it. With the all leather with the mesh cutouts or whatever.
I wasn't gonna mention that.
But.
I loved it too.
We had to.
I don't want to objectify. They're working hard. And...
I know, yeah. She just looked great.
Trey, rank all 30 hottest.
Yeah. All right.
Hottest ugliest. Good.
But
I don't remember.
It was nice.
She'll get hate.
I need my notes.
Lita had on her arm, like, the name of women who couldn't be there. So, like, it was nice having, like, Stephanie acknowledge China was there.
That confused people because everyone just thought they were all dead. It's like, only China, I think, and Moolah and, like, Mae Young were dead. I was like, she's like, yeah, Wendy Richter, like, none of them have passed on.
Yeah, like, Luna and stuff. Like,
Little Luna passed on. But
right.
But she's like, yeah, it's like, the way they mentioned, like, it just made it sound like all these women were, like, dead. Also, it was coming off of her arm anyway, so it's not like you were able to see it.
Right, I didn't
know.
So it was, like, just by mentioning it, like, it made more confusion to, like, mention it. That, like, now she had, like, in a tie, like, some sort of shirt on that had, like, all their names on the back. Because I remember back years ago, Roddy Piper would have this shirt where he had like all these deceased wrestlers on the back that said like to pay honor to them, like
right.
But yeah, it just seemed like it just seemed confusing, and then to have Stephanie McMahon of all people to chime in like China as well.
Yeah.
So it's like knowing their history, it's sort of like
right. It was, and Stephanie on the mic, which I like. I really love Stephanie, actually. I think she's a great heel, and I think she's super badass in real life. But, I don't know. She's, like, kind of embarrassing. Like, when she's just like, ooh, ooh, like, you know, like...
Like, it's like, everything's history is like, stop. Like, it's like, and let it make... It's like, you just beat people over the head, like, we're
let
watching.
Let it be a moment.
Yeah, let it be a moment.
I like that they, I feel like everyone used it appropriately to showcase their... talents or whatever, whereas, and maybe the men are just oafs and they don't have high flying moves, you know, but it seemed like most of the ladies used it to go off the top rope a couple times, show what their like finishing move was a lot, whereas in the men's one it was just,
well, especially with the veterans,
they just grapple,
especially with the veterans, they have to remind people and like to introduce themselves again to people who weren't watching back then, like
right,
you had to have Molly Holly do her finishing move, because if you've never seen her, like, if you right. start watching after she left, like, who the hell are you? And you're just kicking and punching. I don't know why you're... But, yeah, I thought there wasn't anyone I felt like that was in it. There was, like, oh, they overstayed your welcome, or they... It was a poor showing. Like, sometimes with, like, the men's Royal Rumbles, it's like, this guy that I thought you guys were pushing was only in it for, like, 5 minutes and got a limp, like, just dumped over
right.
like, no fanfare. Like,
it was crazy to me that Becky Lynch got eliminated. Like, she was, like, the 14th one eliminated... And I was like...
But she was in there a long time. And she was one... Like,
well, that's why the first was Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
She was in there forever.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in the final four, wasn't
yeah.
she?
I don't know. Yeah.
And every time it was like, oh, she's about to be thrown out. And then she would disappear. She would just slide under the ropes and go take a breather for 10 minutes and then come back. I thought she was eliminated multiple times.
I thought it was great how, like, both... I thought it was cool that Michelle McCool looked so good. You know, because I think, like... When I thought of her in the past, I was like, oh, just, like, she's just here because Undertaker. And I never really, I don't know, appreciated her like I should have. And she looked super strong. I think she eliminated...
Yeah, wasn't she the one that eliminated most people?
Yeah, I think her, and I think Nia Jax also did, like, maybe, like, 3.5.
Yeah.
But she looked... I love Nia Jax.
I think that was one of my memorable moments was...
When everyone eliminated?
Yeah, like, 6-7 people had to lift her up.
They gave her the old Andre the Giant elimination.
Yeah,
yeah. That was pretty cool. And then the girl, I don't remember her name, that used the chair to get back in the ring.
Oh, Naomi. Doing, like, the Kofi Kingston type spot.
Like, everyone caught her at the bottom. It's like, not yet. And then she immediately got thrown out, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to do all this to get back in, and I'm
gonna... Now, the problem they're going to run into, I feel like, is if they... Like, they will... Do it again next year, I assume. It's like, there's a very good chance it's going to be the exact same 30 people.
Well, that means they have to hire more women.
Yeah, Joe.
I'm sorry, but I'm okay. But I'm just saying, it's like you can interchange some of the people from like NXT to come back up. But who are you taking out? Like,
well, I mean, like, you don't need as many veterans because you're gonna be
hiring. You have to cut down the veterans. Like, it's just you've got to make sure it's not the exact same match you have.
Well, you're gonna have Ronda Rousey in it next year, so someone's eliminated.
Yeah,
I would go ahead and say Stephanie McMahon gets in there, mixes it up one more time.
All right.
I was really sad that Peyton and Billie Kay weren't there.
Right.
It wasn't an iconic first Royal Rumble, but it was still like, I'm glad they're gonna hopefully have something big for them when they got called up.
That's another thing, is like, you don't need to call up people from NXT just to have them be a limit, like, just to be
right.
I mean, you brought up a few, and like, it happened to the men's, like, they brought up the champion and Adam Cole, and it's like, while they had fairly good showings, it's sort of like, what does that do for them coming back?
Right. I think that the Asuka and Ember Moon moment they had was like,
yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense because there was history there.
Right, and that, like,
and
of course she had to be
dirty. They had unfinished business because, like, Ember Moon was the NXT Women's Champion. It's like, and she never got to beat Asuka for that title.
Right.
So that makes sense, but...
So, that stare down was awesome, and I think the crowd popped for just when they were looking at each other.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I felt bad Alicia Fox couldn't be in it because she injured her, I think it was her tailbone day before or something like that. So she had to last minute get, you know, called
out. Yeah, she had to be replaced, and Paige couldn't be in it because of the neck injury.
Right, which as I thought about it, like, I was kind of always indifferent to Paige, but I got really sad thinking how, like, I mean, she's incredible. She's been doing this for, like, most of her life. It made me really sad that she couldn't be in the match as I thought about it. Right. But yeah, at the end of all of this, Asuka is having her moment in the Thunder, you know, on stage with Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. Then all of a sudden we hear some Joan Jett blasting and Ronda Rousey comes out. And I don't know, I have super mixed feelings on that because she's a questionable person. But I know she wants to put her heart into this, so.
I know they screwed it up. Because, like, they play the music, which wasn't a dead giveaway unless you've seen her performing in UFC. But they also, like, have the camera where you just saw half of the Titantron.
Oh, yeah. They're
like, that says Rousey, but she doesn't show up for another, like, 30 seconds. Like if you just focused on, like, the three in the ring, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and, like, Charlotte, and, like, while that plays, you're just wondering, like, have them, like, look around and then have... Or have it play, focus on the stage with no Titantron, then have it pop up like when Jericho debuted.
Right.
It's like, okay, there is something, like, what is happening here? Turn the lights, or you can just have the lights turn off. Like, cut the power, have the music play, and then have it pop. But the fact, like, the Titantron started before, like, anything else, it's sort of like, okay, she's coming. Or is it a video, or is she walking out? Well, that deflates. You have expectations now.
Right. It was
like total shock.
I feel like, yeah, her debut was very, like, you know, botched and also, like, mismanaged. And I don't think her intentions were super clear. Like, because I know she had beef with Stephanie the last time she, like, showed face in WWE. So, like, she goes to shake Asuka's hand, which I'm like, if that's not her finisher, the handshake, she's just trying to shake hands with these women, you know.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Like, who is she going to fight? What her character, like, I understand she's happy to be there, but she smiled way too much. Like, what's her character? Is she a happy go lucky wrestler? Because then she would point to the WrestleMania sign and get all serious, and then she'd be like, but I'm just so happy to be here.
What if she just does, like, Roddy Piper impersonation?
I didn't understand. Like, it wasn't like a I'm smiling, like, I hate you smile.
Like a smile, like, I'm gonna kill you guys.
It was like a genuinely happy smile, and then a...
Well, I think it's, I don't know if they know what they're doing with her yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
the slow handshake, I didn't like
the
either.
Slow handshake. Asuka slapping it away was smart, because you always just built
Because that's not gonna be the match this year.
The match this year will either be Ronda versus Charlotte. Like, I think the storyline could... There are either two ways of doing it. Asuka picks who she picks...
Uh-huh.
And then Ronda faces the other one, but it won't be Alexa Bliss, because that's not a... You're not going to have Ronda face Alexa Bliss.
Right.
That's not going to have ESPN excited, or, like, people outside the wrestling world excited. But having Ronda face, like, Charlotte, like, because people know who Ric Flair is, that'll get people excited. And also having her face Stephanie McMahon in some sort of match would work. So I think they're still trying to figure out whether to do...
Yeah, I mean...
Her versus Charlotte, or her versus Stephanie McMahon in some sort of tag match for some people.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning. I don't know, like, she's her name, like, in the news of her being signed full time, which, you know, being a transphobic, kind of slightly misogynistic woman of sorts, like, she, I gotta commend her for, like, going full time, like, and not doing that Brock Lesnar, you know, princess schedule.
Well, I mean, it's full time, but I don't know if you're gonna see her a lot on, like, house shows and stuff like that. I think her contract's probably not the same that Alicia Fox has in terms of, like, not just money figure, but, like, dates and, like,
I mean, we'll have to see how it goes, but we'll see what happens with all of that. It'll be fun. I think she could, whoever she, like, fights against, if it's at WrestleMania 34 or not till, like, SummerSlam, they're just going to be overshadowed by her name for
fans. What this does now is have her... You can have her match, like, this WrestleMania. That could be the Stephanie McMahon stuff. And then you can build for next year's WrestleMania, like, her versus Charlotte or her versus Asuka.
Yeah.
And you can finally have that WrestleMania where a women's bout closes the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't do that, like, within, like, this span of, like, this amount of time.
But right.
If you can hold off on it, and I know it's tough because you have to fill up 12 months of pay-per-views.
Right.
But if you can have Ronda either be the champion or challenge the champion at next year's WrestleMania, they can finally have their last big, like, historic women's, like, monumental, like, or whatever.
If they put the title on her too quickly, I think it would almost discredit, like, WWE a little bit and make UFC seem, like, stronger of sorts. Right. And like,
you gotta make her work for it.
And like, she was like kind of a shitty fighter, right? Like, well, she was like out in 45 seconds the last time she
fought.
Well, you can do all the stuff. Like, you can have like,
she built her UFC off of knocking people out so quick, even though she went out quick. And she has like, what, the 8 second knockout? I think that's
pretty.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Right. Well, we'll see.
But yeah, I think they need to make her work for it. I would hate to, if I were to just keep watching and just see her have the title in 2 or 3 months, would be.
Right. No.
I mean, then what's it all for?
What's it all for?
But then whoever knocks her off, whoever can knock her off, if she's the champion,
she definitely has a target on her back, though, so you can build, I think what you said, if it's WrestleMania next year, you can build, you know, her fighting in a pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, I mean, she can win the title before...
You could use her to...
She can win the title before WrestleMania, like, she can win it at, like, SummerSlam or Survivor Series. But, not like, this WrestleMania. But that following WrestleMania could be the one where it's like, okay, whoever we have, whoever's the next, like, we can have them knock her off, or and then you can do the shake-up, she can go to the next, she can be on SmackDown the next, like, you know, the Superstar Stake-Up stuff, because you're on two different shows. You can move her to Tuesdays, and I don't know if they ever would, because they want Mondays to have the ratings.
Right.
So, but it's you can switch stuff up.
It's a story just waiting to unfold.
Yeah, and I don't know if they know it yet completely. We'll find out. That's what they do. They want us to tune in.
We gotta tune in.
That's why she didn't say anything. She didn't say anything. We didn't decide. We didn't know who Asuka would face, because she was interrupted by Ronda Rousey. We didn't know why Ronda came out. Well, you're gonna find out. Like,
we'll find out.
Yeah. Watch
on
Monday.
Just got a point. Those intentions, right at that NOLA.
She didn't have to say it, but we know she wants WrestleMania. Yeah.
The key to winning or making your mark at Royal Rumble is to cheat out and point towards the sign. Cheat out towards
the sign. She better have honor. That's all I gotta say. She better fight honorably.
Alright. Overall, what did we think of this pay-per-view? Did we have fun?
I did. I thought it was great. I haven't watched wrestling in years. I thought it was good.
Would you consider watching again?
Yeah, I think I would. This one, like I said, I didn't get to know anybody's real backstory. So I would watch just to see who these people are.
Yeah, at least watch Mania to see Rousey fight now.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm a Rouseyite. Is that what we call him? Yeah. I'm a rouser. I'll keep watching. I'm waiting for Kevin Owens to talk to me, and I'll fight him on WrestleMania.
Oh, we just had the challenge.
He's just a bully. I'm gonna challenge him.
And what do you think of the pay per view, Joe?
It's probably like the Royal Rumble matches were the best they've had in a long time. Undercard. I think the crowd just did not give a. The crowd didn't care for anything in between the two Rumble matches. Like, even the Universal Battle match, I think they were just like, it's just more of the same stuff. Like, we saw Brock fight several monsters at once before at last SummerSlam. So it's just, you already knew, like, it was like, we know how this ends. Like, we know how this story ends. So, overall, like, the Royal Rumble matches were good, and that's the whole point of the pay per view. So, like, back in the day, the Royal Rumble match, like, the undercard is always like, oh, you get to watch, like, Jim Duggan fight Dino Bravo. It's like, all right.
Yeah, like, you're like, why? Yeah.
Just get to like, some sort of six-man tag with those guys. And it's like, just get to, like, I don't care about this Ronnie Garvin versus Greg Hammer Valentine match. I just want to watch the Rumble.
Yeah.
So, I think they did a good job of that. I would probably, the order, I think, kind of screwed stuff up for some of those matches. Like, if the Usos was the first match, because it's such always a high energy match with the Usos. The crowd will get really behind it, mm-hmm. and the crowd will have gotten behind the AJ handicap match, regardless, because they love AJ, they love the two other guys,
right?
So that wouldn't, I don't think that would have had a dead crowd.
No,
but
you got to have your pop at the very beginning, so it made sense for that to be.
Well, that's true, because it's still unclear who was the bad guys and who was the good guys in that.
Right, SmackDown Philly was just happy to have it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I kind of wish I was there really bad now.
Really?
Like,
I wouldn't.
Why?
Just want to stand next to that taco. The guy that dresses as a taco.
Yeah, the guy dressed as a taco. Yeah, you got to sit next to people dressed as
the coolest dudes in the...
They're dressed like loose meat sandwiches.
Yeah. But, overall, it was like the best I felt like leaving a pay-per-view in a while, so...
It got you really interested in WrestleMania. Like, they really did a good job of setting it up.
Yeah, for...
Like, whether you want to see AJ versus Nakamura, which most people I feel like do, You know Asuka's going to challenge for a title, just depends on which one. And you know Rousey's going to be involved at WrestleMania. Like, she's going to have her a match at Mania.
Big wheels keep on turning. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. So, yeah, I'm excited to keep going. Do you guys have anything to plug before we wrap up, Trey?
Yep, plug my Twitter at SimplyTreyDunn. Maybe this honorless bastard will talk to me, and I will fight him at WrestleMania or some smaller backyard venue.
Relapse.
We can do that. It's a relapse open mic, me and Joe both, every Thursday at 9:30.
Yep.
What you got, Joe?
I have nothing going on in my life right now, as you know. No, yeah, come visit us at the Relapse Open Mic in Atlanta, Georgia. RelapseTheater.com, I think, or Relapse, I don't know the website. Just look up Relapse.
I'll link to it in the description.
And, yeah.
You got handles you want to share?
Oh, yeah, Twitter. I'm at Joe Galois. No one else has my name, so that's pretty easy to find. Yeah. That's
cool.
It.
All right, everyone. You can follow me on Twitter. I don't tweet in 2018, I don't think. So, but it's JW Meatballs with an S, not a Z. You can follow me on Instagram at Scatman Jamie. If you guys want to
call this old, she's like, we don't tweet in 2018.
No, no, no. I don't.
That's all we do.
No. I was really big into Twitter last year. Last year.
So your resolution was to kind of.
No, I just have been lazy. But overall, I have to remember always to thank Xander Pratt for making Heck in a Set's theme music and Rebecca Price for making the podcast art and my producer, Barack Zitron, keeping this podcast palatable since 2017-ish. That's the podcast.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.